Last time on Leighton Legends.
So it looks like maybe if there's like a town center or something, it might be further in. How about I pull the carriage up with Val and Giovanni, and we'll go kind of explore that. You're going to catch up then, Mordecai?
Yeah, unless somebody wants to come with.
Oh, he'll catch up all right.
You there, what are you doing here?
Mordecai, you're speeding ahead of Val, and all of a sudden you turn the corner, and you can see that there in front of you is Giovanni, and he's engaged with a bunch of bandits.
And he's going to twin spell Maximilian's Earthen Grasp to try and protect Fives and our good lieutenant in the back.
Next up is one of the bandits that's further down the road, so he's going to take a step to the side here, levy a shot at Fives, who's in front of him, and Fives hits the ground. Val, it's your turn.
I beg you.
I think.
Save my boy.
They got my boy. I think I want to drop Moonbeam on these guys in front of Geo here.
Oh, do you now?
Cue Moonbeam theme.
I love swinging into the Moonbeam, that's for sure.
Moonbeam! And I think it's at this point that combat technically ends.
Okay, so I just kind of just sort of brush off kind of what I just kind of just touch the tree kind of just haphazard. Tree. We seek it for your information.
Val! Val!
Did only Val hear wait, or did we all hear that?
Only Val heard wait.
Which can mean only one thing. That tree knows Elvish.
could have been speaking in common.
I'm sure the tree...
Or Val knows tree-ish.
I do know tree-ish.
Well, you did cast speak with plants, so I assume that you were speaking plants.
All part of the magic, so...
Are you going to relay that information to your team?
100%. So I'm just going to just blast back from the tree and... Oh, ow. Guys, I think we should hold up. The trees told me to wait.
Wait, isn't it time? Or, like, does it need us to put something heavy here? Or?
I'm going to assume wait, as in time.
Okay, sorry. That psychic damage just hit me real hard, so...
It just said wait, like, wait?
Wait, one word.
That's kind of annoying.
It's kind of nice. Maybe we could perhaps explore the rest of these dwellings and fortify ourselves for the night. I could use a long rest. I don't know about you, weary travelers, but I took a beating in that fight.
Well, I mean, did it say where to wait? Like, are we supposed to wait by the tree?
I would assume this is a good landmark as any, Mordecai.
Well, when in New Elf Town, do as the elf do. And I'm going to plop down in front and, like, just assume, like, a very serene pose. See if anything happens.
Roll a performance check.
Yes.
Does anyone suppose that the tree is perhaps the mayor of Elf Town?
Ooh.
Oh, absolutely.
That's an 18 for performance.
You look incredibly serene.
Josh, can I continue to explore these houses that all around Renlin? Or not Renlin?
Sure. So, New Elf Town, please. A different jurisdiction. So feel free to wander about if you like, but if there's something that you want to do, let me know. So if you want to investigate something or search for stuff, you have to let me know.
I just wanted to see that.
It's also an opportunity for you to play around with the shadows and look how things change as you wander.
Well, you know what I'm doing here, right? Like, I'm not...
Yeah, I'm
very transparent. I'm trying to be as transparent as possible with Dungeons & Dragons. I would like to explore this house, though, that I just gracefully explored all the shadow out of.
Okay, so Giovanni is kind of split ways with you guys after, I guess, you have loosely decided to sit in front of a tree. Giovanni decides that's a different kind of thing he doesn't want to do, so he's going to go look at a house that seems to be just to the left of what you have established as perhaps once the town hall of New Elf Town. So, Giovanni, you go into a house, and can I have you roll a investigation check?
Normal roll.
Well, let me ask you, are you looking to perceive what's here, or are you looking for something specifically?
Clues and valuables, like little objects. Like
little objects.
Not little, but they could be big objects, just things like stuff,
object-oriented
tools, like like anything that would give you any sort of clue as to, like, did they just leave suddenly? Have they, like, did they have any bags packed? Is everything normal other than that? Like,
sure. So I'll get you to roll that investigation check.
I rolled a 16, which may be my greatest investigation roll of all time.
It could be. I mean, considering you have plus zeros to that, that ain't bad. So you go into this house, and it definitely looks like some type of dormitory, some type of living quarters. It's all one room, which is, you know, maybe not exactly comfortable, but there is like a little divider that separates between the front door and what appears to be a bedroom, a little bunk on the other side. There also is like a kitchenette that's kind of set up in front of a few windows that are facing a large tree that overhangs the rest of the house. There's also like a dining table and a bathtub in the corner. It's really kind of a bachelor styled housing here. You can see that things seem to have been cleaned up pretty quickly, and in a sort of weird way, like even the bed has been nicely tucked away, like all the sheets are set flat on it. You can see that all the kitchen area has been cleaned up. It's all been cleaned, but you can see that it does seem pretty sparse in here. It definitely seems like if there was more stuff in here, it's no longer here anymore. But that's about all you grasp from this this building. The search for loot and other valuables kind of comes up empty. You don't see any jewelry. You pull out the drawers of like a dresser table and you can't see anything in there. It's actually completely empty.
Oh, so it's I'm just trying to figure out, like, it definitely looks like they packed up and left though, right? Not like they rushed out of here in a hurry.
I think you could deduce that, but I can provide you with the information, but you have to kind of figure out like what you think that might mean.
Oh, okay, so it's just making an assumption based on the facts for me. Okay. All right. Well, I'm just gonna, unless you guys want to do stuff, I'm just gonna keep exploring these houses. So fucking serene.
Shush, the audience can't see this. Is this a pig roasting over the fire over here?
Yeah, so you guys are in the center of town. There is a large circular road that kind of goes around this large tree in the center of this town. And you can see that off to the side of it, in between where the town hall would be and another building, it seems to be the bandit camp. So they have set up a couple chairs that they probably took from inside these houses out in front of a fire pit they made. There are a couple of carts. There's also like some, I don't know, kind of living quarter related stuff that's all there. And yes, you can see that there is a suckling pig over top of a fire there. Ooh. That has been left unattended by, the bandits that you have killed. There's no one attending to it because whoever was attending to it is now dead.
Nice.
That's pretty cool.
I want to nudge Mordecai and just kind of like, hey, why let that pig go to waste? You hungry?
To be honest, I'm friggin' starving. I mean, you know better than anybody, man. Magic takes a toll on you. So, yeah.
Val is absolutely starving. And having come from dog mode, like, I think like just doing all that kind of like fast running and the enhanced metabolism has just kind of got him out of character.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
But also while I'm over there, I want to kind of just root around the bandit camp and see what they've got going on.
Okay.
Over there and kind of and take hold of their provisions for our quest as well. Whatever we can kind of, other food stores or Bibles or whatever.
Sure.
I don't want to alarm anybody, but I just moved my guy to a staircase and he automatically went up, and it's an incredible mechanic for like climbing and descending stairs in the game. It's very cool. Sorry.
I'm glad you like that. I'm really glad you like that.
I don't want to alarm anybody. It's very cool.
Yeah, maybe you could Giovanni can run over and be like, guys, I found stairs and they work.
Guy, well, this does seem like the best.
You gotta come see this.
Well, if I want to take a long rest, I feel like the building with three floors might be the most defensible, you know? Because we could kind of have a lookout on the top floor and all that stuff.
No, I definitely want to hold up after I eat and investigate some more. So
I'll probably stay out as a target.
Can I do a quick quick investigation? Because I can smell that suckling pig fire starting to cook again. And definitely like
wafting in through a window.
Can you?
Well, can you?
Are your senses extra keen?
Yeah, I'm going to need you to roll a perception check on that suckling pig.
7.
No, you do not smell a suckling pig.
All right, then can I investigate this last house?
Yes, but you just did an investigation check, so I'm going to move over to Val and Mordecai for the time being.
Val and Mordecai.
Yeah, I know you do, but here we are.
It's not even the last one.
Okay, so Val and... it's not even the last one. Val and Mordecai, you guys start walking over to that little fire pit that's in front of one of the houses that the bands have set up in front of. You can see on your way over there that Fives and Lieutenant Black, who are still here, have been moving the bodies, the corpses of the bandits that you guys killed, onto one of their carts that is just kind of at the stall there. They look a little busy with what they're doing. And the two of you make your way over to that seating area. You can see that there is a pig there. It is roasting. It's tough to say whether you know it's ready to eat or not, but its skin is crispy golden and its juices are just melting onto the fire below it. This must be uncomfortable for Brendan, who is a vegetarian, bit. But here we are.
Well, only one way to find out. Grab a hind leg.
Okay.
I don't know how pigs work.
Just out of curiosity, Mordecai, you don't have resistance to fire damage, right?
Not at all, no. In fact, I'm highly...
Okay, you take 2 points of fire damage. It's a pig roasting on a fire.
I want to kind of just try a little more, with a little more tact than Mordecai, perhaps. I kind of just cleave off a piece with my dagger if I can. A good piece, though. A good chunk.
A good piece?
See, if it was okay, fully cooked, I could have just pulled that off easily.
Yeah, the juices would render all the tendons nice and tender.
Definitely not ready.
sure. Okay. Val, we'll say that you very skillfully carve off a little cheek off of its shoulder, and you stab into it, and you're just kind of holding it with your dagger in front of you, and I guess you eat it. Yeah, it seems fine. It's a delicious pig. I mean, let's be honest here. Bandits aren't really known for their culinary skills, but damn, this is a fine pig. And it might just be that you've been driving all day and fighting, but there's something about it that just tastes delicious. Glad that's settled. For future pig story plots, you will need to remove the pig and cut it up properly, and we'll go through a whole survival regimen as you eat this pig.
How we quarter it all up.
Val, above board, does this mean that Val can now turn into a pig?
Ooh.
He's now seen one.
I'm gonna say no. He could turn into a dead pig, but I feel like that wouldn't be appropriate.
No. I'm sure Val's seen pigs though in the marketplace.
Also dead.
Yeah, I would not put it past Val. Yeah,
I know he has. So
this is off topic, but I read a really good story about a guy who decided he wanted to make a farmer druid, and he was just a farmer, and his animal companion was a pig. And they would just use the pig to eat the corpses of whoever they killed.
Oh, boy.
You know what? It's very smart.
Yeah.
And also just terrifying.
It's smart. Okay. All right. So you guys eat some pig. Mordecai, I'll say that at some point you eventually recover from your burnt hand. You were wearing gloves, so I guess it doesn't take long. And you have yourself some delicious, moist pig. Giovanni, let's switch back over to you. Are you investigating that house? Because I see your character has moved its way back over to the pig.
Well, I like to think that these things are all happening kind of at the same time. So I was at the southeastern house. I would have liked to investigate it while I was there.
I'll say that, like, you were investigating the first house and moving to the second house when Mordecai and Val started doing their little...
I'm now in the house, and I would like to investigate it.
Okay.
It has three floors, which is pretty nifty.
Okay, are you looking for anything in particular?
No, it's the same stuff as before, like, any signs of, like, they left in a hurry or anything that would indicate, like, foul play, basically, but also just, like, a general sweep of the house, like... Found like an old cabin in the woods or something like that, and you've rifled through it. That kind of a vibe check here.
Sure. Could I get you to roll an investigation check?
And that is a whopping 13.
Okay, so you walk into this house. It's a two-floor structure. It's kind of set up in an interesting way. Like there is one structure at the front, and then there's a
three-floor structure.
No, it's two floors.
Oh, it is two floors. Sorry, I thought I was going up to a third building, but it's just this. Very clever, very sneaky. Okay.
Anyway, so you can see it's an interesting building. So there is a main entrance in the front, and then there is like a walkway between this main building and a building behind that doesn't seem to have any apparent entrances to it. And this walkway is on the second floor, so you can go up and explore that at your own leisure, which you are sort of doing now. Looking around this, you can see that it seems to be a slightly larger house, and you can see that probably a larger family lived here, or at least one person who was fairly wealthy and could afford their own land out in the middle of the country, in the town square,
society,
and that's prime real estate.
Is elfish society like capitalist in that regard, where like your status in the society would be reflected by how big your personal values are? Or your personal?
You'd have to ask Val for that.
I feel like I have before, and I'll stop. Stop me if I have.
I don't think you have.
Not point blank.
No, Ben and I have had actually conversations, a bit more conversations about Elvis culture and whatnot since, well, in the last few weeks, I guess. Anyways, so you enter this building. You can see that it seems to be about as tidy as the last house that you explored. Everything has been tidied up. There doesn't seem to be anything loose hanging around. Doesn't look like anybody left in a panic, to say.
Okay.
There is kind of like a living arrangement on the bottom floor that has like some beds and a table and whatnot. And then on the second floor is like a cabinet, and there's some cooking arrangements sitting in front of a few windows facing the town square. And then, of course, there is that walkway that goes to the second building behind it. Going into that second building and walking down the stairs that go into it, you can see that it seems to be something of a storage room. And you can see that there are boxes all lined along the walls, and you can see that there are chests and all sorts of stuff in here. Although this too seems particularly tidy, like things have been put away carefully. And when you go to open a number of the boxes there, you can see that they are empty, or rather filled with straw in a lot of cases. You do see that there is a chest that seems kind of neglected at the back of the room. Mm-hmm. And opening it up, you can see that there is 50 gold pieces in there. Oh. Or rather, the equivalent of 50 gold Renlin pieces in there.
Cool.
It's a filament of allotment of like silver change and some copper and a few pieces of gold. And eventually it kind of contributes or like adds up to about 50.
Cool. Hmm. Cool. All right, I'm done. I'm done my exploring of my greedy thing. I'm going to make my way over to this suckling pig that may or may not exist.
It's just teasing you. Yeah, so you end up leaving the building. You walk across the courtyard, and you head over to the little bandit camp where you can see Mordecai and Val are sitting in front of a roasting pig. And you can also see that Lieutenant Black and Fives have kind of finished up their deed of packing away all of these different bandits, and they too start to make their way over to you, three sitting in front of this fireplace. And Lieutenant Black speaks up to you guys.
Have you guys had a look around the town yet?
Well, I was just about to like secure this kind of area, so if I'd like to roll an investigation check just of this kind of area where the bandit camp is, I suppose.
Yeah, I can see that you certainly secured that pig.
Can I get you to roll an investigation check?
The shade. Oof.
15.
Okay. You can see that the bandit camp seems to be set up with bare essentials. If they moved in here, they probably moved in like the last week at most. Like, it doesn't seem like they've been here a long time. And what stuff is here is stuff that they have either pillaged from the nearby buildings or like the few things that they may have brought with them, like these carts and these different tents that are kind of set up. Those things probably weren't here.
Sure.
In terms of supplies, you can see that there seems to be a pretty good
cache
of food and like surplus rations and other kind of supplies. There's like some whetstones, and there's like some axes and like a spear off to the side. There's a bucket full of arrows, things like that, that are kind of put off to the side. It doesn't look like if these guys were actively on the road and were robbing people as they traveled along the road, it doesn't seem like they've gotten anybody in a long time. What things they do have here are mostly from the town, and what things like you can deduce from that is that they weren't able to find all too much. There's no buckets of jewelry or gold or whatnot, just this suckling, delicious pig sitting above this fire.
Sure.
Which, Lord knows, you have no idea where they got from.
As far as robbers go, these guys suck.
I have completed a preliminary inspection of the grounds, and I've determined no immediate threat. I was saying that to Captain.
Well,
or Captain.
Well, that's good. That's good. I'm glad that you were doing that, Giovanni. Well, Mordecai and Val were sitting here in front of this suckling pig.
Eating this partially.
Very nice of you.
Eating this partially cooked pig.
Yeah, it does seem like there are a couple chunks taken off of it. Good job securing the pig.
It was a lot harder than it looked. Anyways.
Yeah, did you burn yourself, Mordecai?
No. Yes.
Okay, good. All right, so what's the plan from here? Like, we came to New Elf Town. There are no elves here. What do we do?
Val, tell her the big thing.
In speaking with that great tree in the central courtyard.
I'm sorry, what?
Using my speak with plants, some elven magic, that great tree in the courtyard has instructed me and my party to wait.
I'm sorry, Val, you spoke to a tree.
Yeah.
And the tree said, hang out here for a bit, bro. Don't worry about a thing.
I actually said wait, and I quote, but that was the implication.
Okay.
So I'm thinking we should lock down these rations and maybe fortify one of these buildings in case there's any more bandits or...
Yeah, that seems like a cool idea. New question. Hey, Val, you're not taking those mushrooms anymore, right?
Well, that's rude.
Yeah.
Well, Mordecai, you explain to me how this guy's talking to trees, and this tree is telling him what to do. And he's getting orders from trees.
Black, please. I'm a member of a very scientific-based church. And let me tell you, his methods may seem strange, but he's part of an order that practices these sort of rituals that enable him to give him certain abilities that you might find strange and alarming, but
absolutely.
Much stranger things have happened to us in the last little while.
I mean, and to be fair, we were all holding on to him when this happened, and we all took a big ol' hit of psychic damage, so something definitely magic-related happened over there.
What the hell is psychic damage?
It hurt my thinking thing.
What does a character who has 6 out of 35 hit points look like? Like, does Giovanni look battered and bloodied right now?
Yeah, you look pretty beaten up.
Black eyes.
You have blood on you. You're not quite sure if it's your own blood or the blood of the bandits, but there's certainly a lot there.
Like the Doom guy's face when he has like 4 health left.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of the vibe you've got there. Maybe you have a black eye at some point. It's not great.
That pig too.
Yeah, I'm going to need some of that pig.
Okay, so we're just going to sit here while a magical tree tells us to wait.
Do you have any better ideas?
I'm not inclined to keep asking it questions at this point.
I guess if it really hit you, I guess it has quite an arm. I don't know. I don't really have any better ideas to figure out what to do with the elves. I mean, there's part of me that's kind of concerned about what's going on in Renlin right now.
They'll be fine.
They'll be fine?
I mean,
yeah, they'll be fine. We can't be responsible for every single cataclysmic event that happens in Renlin, okay? Like, we can't be there every moment of time for them.
And I mean,
I see what you're saying. I mean, we're only 5 people here, but that being said, we sort of have an insight into something that the rest of the city doesn't. So it kind of gives us a bit of a moral obligation to do something with that knowledge.
You would think that.
We're listening to the tree in the elven village. I don't know. Falling up on leads.
The last time we tried to talk to somebody about this insight into something greater or whatever, they didn't listen to us.
That's right.
So, just roll with the punches.
And to be fair, the force doesn't even recognize who Lieutenant Black and I are at this point in time, so...
Can I have you actually roll a persuasion check?
She keeps questioning our methods. I'm going to be rolling an intimidation check. That's all I'm saying.
That's,
you have a good system here.
That's a 12 on the old persuasion.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. We're kind of in a weird position here. And, you know, you're right. Well, I think you're right, at least. You said you guys have come up against some other weird stuff in the past. And if this is just another one of those things, it does sort of feel weird that this is all happening now. But I'm not really an authority on these matters. So who am I to really say what to do?
Yeah, trust us on this one?
I mean,
one?
I am a lieutenant, and you guys are just guardsmen, so sort of that gives me some authority, but that's besides the point.
Also, Lieutenant, do you have not have any sort of sympathy for me and perhaps Fives as well? I'm kind of bleeding out of both of my eyeballs.
You know, that's a really good point. We have just been standing here while you guys have been actively bleeding. I guess we should take care of that. I'll go get some bandages from the carriage.
Oh, no, don't use ours. The bandits have some right here.
Just tear off a piece of their pant leg.
Don't open that first aid kit, then we'll have to reseal it and sign it again.
You know what? I'll deal with that bureaucracy later, Giovanni.
And Lieutenant Black turns around and starts running off towards where you guys had parked the carriage.
That's leaders for you.
Should anyone go with her, perhaps?
And she's already gone.
We're good.
All right. I'm gonna. Which building do you guys think we should use for our for sleeping? The biggest one?
I mean,
probably the center one here. Yeah.
I think
That's the one that seems the most well built, right?
Are you guys referring to the town hall that is sort of on the other side of the bandit camp that you guys are currently in right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That larger structure.
The northmost.
The northmost building here. So this is the largest building. You can see that it's one of the few buildings here that actually has stone walls, which is, it's kind of weird for elves to be working with that. But you've gone inside already, and you can see that there seems to be sleeping arrangements already set up from the bandits who lived here. Like, they made this their main kind of building that they were working out of. This is also the building that had that giant stained glass of the tree in the back of it, and all these tables and maps inside that you guys couldn't make much out of.
I think we should take turns standing guard tonight, maybe in and or by the tree that told us to do the waiting, just in case something at the tree happens.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I don't know about you guys, but I don't have any magic that can alert me to it, so I would have to be, like, physically there.
No, I think I'll volunteer myself, actually, for that.
I honestly believe that if, for some reason, I feel like it would try to contact Val in a dream. What if it tries to talk to him through his dreams?
It may.
So maybe Val just needs to go to bed. Dreams happen. Val has weird dreams all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
Touché. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's no longer doing those mushrooms, so that might help his REM sleep again.
At the expense of Arcana. Well, it's improved, though. It's admission of church. Val was just lying to himself before. It's already it's opened up. Have we been in this center room before?
Yeah, so you did explore that last week.
There's maps and charts, you said, in this one that we want to, this administrative building we want to pull up in?
Yep, so that city hall that you guys were in or had explored last week, mm-hmm. There was, like, a large map there, but I believe you guys couldn't make heads or tails of it at the time. Kind of showed, like, the outlying region, but there wasn't, like, an X on the map marking where, like, all this treasure was buried, if that was what you were looking for.
Sure. Had Val looked at it? I don't recall.
I don't either, to be honest.
Oh, okay. Can I give it another go, I guess, maybe? Given that I can read and understand Elvish.
Sure. You can see that this is not an elf map. This is a map from the bandits. So it's in common. So your elf skills won't save you here.
Never mind. I thought maybe they had, maybe the people of this village had, like, a town meeting or something ahead of time, and maybe they had outlined, you know, where they were going to go. And
that would be a smart way of thinking, but bandits.
I mean,
yeah, I don't know. If it's the bandits, then...
It's a good idea, but it seems like the bandits have kind of taken over this building. Maybe they just liked the stained glass and thought it was pretty, and are like, this is the one.
For sure.
We've never seen so much brightness in one area before, where this is our new house.
Kind of feel bad about killing them now.
You know what, guys? Let's get off the road and settle down.
All the notes on the table are just like, dear mom and dad.
You pick up one of the notes and like a picture falls out and it's like a mommy and daddy and like little baby.
Oh my god, are we the baddies?
My children. This will be the last bandit run we do before I finally get to come home and spend the rest of my life with my beautiful children.
You can finally afford to go to college now, Timmy.
Oh god.
But none of that. Just pictures of knives and skulls.
Yeah, right? It's lots of spider pictures.
It looks like my notes in high school. Yeah.
All right, so what do you guys do? Talk me through the next few hours.
I'll go and take the first watch at the tree.
Well, Giovanni wants to go to bed. I assume Lieutenant Black's going to come back and dress some of his wounds while he passes out to recover his hit points, his spellcasting abilities.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I think that if you go and find a, like, are you just taking one of the bandits' bunks and just laying down in that?
Yeah, the one kind of, and it doesn't matter which one, but the one closest to the map table.
Sure, okay. So you sit down on that, and at a certain point, like maybe in 15, 20 minutes, Lieutenant Black makes her way back to you and she dresses some of your wounds, cleans some of the cuts, and you're laying in bed covered in... you know, wraps and things like that. You feel like you'll be able to pull through. It's not going to be a life or death thing.
But I don't want to risk any infections, you know?
Yeah.
Well, we're out in the bush. Smart.
Fair enough.
Fighting these bandits, you know, these filthy bandits. Yeah. I don't know how they keep their swords. Like,
smart.
And you guys?
I'm going to go take first watch at the tree, so I'll go out there and just meditate and try and rest.
Yeah, I'm also going to go do the same, actually, and hang out by the tree as well.
Okay, so the two of you are just going to sit at the tree. You're not going to be rested
no,
if you're not
I'll go
falling asleep.
I will probably pass out from boredom.
Yeah, no, I'm going to kind of just trance as well, but I'm going to try and get as close as this guy I kind of think is reasonably safe in case I can kind of pick up something maybe from the roots or the earth or get anything more. So
sure.
Well, there is a tent set up right by it. You can probably just sleep in that tent.
Oh, that's smart. Okay, Val, you stick right by the tree because you can talk to it. I'm going to hang out in that tent nearby.
Perfect.
And if anything goes down, I'll be able to hear it.
And break. So you guys are sitting in your respective positions by the tree, Mordecai, in a tent that seems to have been set up right in front of it. And Val, you kind of nestle yourself into the roots at the base of the tree. You can see that Fives just kind of been standing by the fire the whole time, and he just notices that everyone else is gone. And he just walks past you and ends up going into the city hall. And at some point, Giovanni, if you look up and you see Fives is over there, he's just kind of tinkering away at his own arm, trying to like tighten a loose bolt because he's in a lot of, well, robot pain, I guess, because he almost died today. And that was kind of a scary thing for him. And you all kind of make your way ready for bed.
I forgot I wanted to fix Fives. Oops.
Yep, that slipped your mind.
Not enough hours in the day.
He'll be fine.
The moon is a curious thing in the world. Its existence has long outlasted the memories of even the most ancient of peoples. It's difficult to say if any memory even exists of a time when there was no moon, only those in the minds of the first eyes to gaze upon it. To the dreamer, it's an ever-out-of-touch place, a world away, that none but the most starry-eyed can touch, though none have. To the pragmatist, it is simply a guide for telling the seasons, the time of night, or to help chaperone a wayward ship home to harbor. But it's among the theologians that its greatest stories are illuminated, where the oldest tales come under its light. Tales of gifts from the gods, of curses from the sun, or of arcane lore long faded from the world. But in a world only filled with glimpses, slivers of the moon, in its stories, it is always full. Under the gaze of a full moon, our heroes rest, slumber, and wait. Val. Your eyes flicker, blink, and open, blinded by the light around you. You find yourself surrounded by wheat in a field as far as your elf eyes can see. Feels like fall, the air is crisp, and off in the distance you can see an area where some of the wheat has been cleared and piled in little pyramids of straw. Without knowing it, you make your way towards them. The straw sits alone in its clearing below the hill of wheat, as though a group of someones had decided to take their break for the day, leaving the remainder of the work for the afternoon. But from behind one of the bales steps a figure. They're naked as the moon, with skin pale to match. A man, at least you think it's a man, though their eyes shine with sprinkled flecks of starlight, and the slight curvature of their ears might make you guess otherwise. They look directly at you, unmoving and unfazed by your appearance at the sight. They point at you. At least it looks like they're pointing at you. But the gesture feels as though they're pointing beyond you, at something far in the distance. Looking down, you can see your shadow begin to point in their direction, but it's wrong. The sun shines at your face, so your shadow shouldn't be there. It grows from you and encompasses the area around, including the figure across from you. turning, your sight is eclipsed by a tree. Familiar, standing magnificent and bright in the sun where no tree stood before. It looks old, but its leaves are bright and flowers sparkle along its branches. But it continues to grow in your sight, as though it's growing, but not. Your vision blurs. You hear the sound of the ground stirring. Then you wake up. Val, you wake up at the roots of the tree. And you can see that it's night now. Very deep night. But it's not right. The moon is glowing, bright and full, down from its place in the heavens. And it's passing through the back of this town hall. And you can see that that light continues to travel through only the tiniest little hole in the wall at the front of the building. And if you had been in it, if you were Giovanni and you were awake, you would have seen that the light passed through the giant mural of the tree in the back of the room. And it passes directly onto the tree sitting in the middle of the courtyard, right next to where you are laying.
Wow, man. Great narration.
What do you do?
I'm very startled from the dream. Do I see this moonbeam?
You do see this moonbeam. It is passing through everything, and you can see it glowing spectral in the darkness around you. In fact, it's one of the only things giving light off in the area other than the bonfire, yet another fire that you guys have left unattended in this world.
Unattended. And this moonbeam is projected, obviously, from the moon through this glass onto this tree, correct?
Yes.
Can I reach out and touch where the moonbeam is on the tree?
Yeah. It's forming into a small little point, and it's touching a large kind of area of the bark on the tree. And you go to touch it, and your hand goes through.
Ah, I thought so. Some kind of port key. Am I able to pull it back at all? Or yep. Am I stuck?
You're able to pull it back, yeah.
Okay, Val kind of does like a tentative couple, just in and out. But then I'll slowly just kind of... you know what? I should alert Mordecai. but quickly. So I'm going to just kind of dash over and just kind of rouse him, I guess. Mordecai. I think there's some kind of portal emerging or something. I'm going to be pretty forceful about it because I guess he's sleeping. He might be sleeping pretty hard. And this probably makes no sense to him.
Well, I mean, I did go to sleep in full preparation to be woken up by a weird sound.
Sure.
It's kind of how our adventures go.
You're all like dressed ready to rock.
Yeah, we'll also say that maybe Mordecai is pretty used to getting woken up by Val at this point. Now you guys have been roommates for like a year.
Sleeping in his clothes. Always trying to go.
Did I mention to you guys I used to live on the street?
I haven't brought that up in a couple of episodes. Just got to make sure you remember. He'll rouse awake and roll. Oh, shit! Something's going down.
Yeah. So I'm just gonna just indicate what's up and explain to him that it's what I believe to be some kind of portal.
Where is it?
On the tree.
Okay. I'll go to the tree and you get Geo.
No, man. I'm gonna go through.
Don't go through without your team. I'm gonna go investigate it, man. Kind of your de facto science major here.
I'm wondering, I'm just hoping we won't miss the time of the moon.
Okay, well, let's both run towards it, and then we'll just yell Geo really loud.
Geo's okay with getting a long rest. I wouldn't disturb him. He's very, very injured.
All right, then I guess we're going without you. Okay.
Regardless of what you decide to do, you guys have healed up from your resting. Okay, cool. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll say that amount of time has passed where you guys are now good to go.
Sure. Because I was in trance, I guess, so that's shorter. Obviously just roused by this vision.
Sorcery points are back, healed up, spell slots are back.
I don't know. Game talk, I guess. Does that change your opinion at all, then, Geo, or?
Indifferent. I think I already said it, so I don't want to, like, cheat and be like, yeah, whatever.
But... Sure.
So we go.
I guess we go. Well, I don't know. You said you were going to yell. Or go get Geo, weren't you?
you know what? I'll yell out to Geo as we make it towards there. I'll just be like,
sure.
Shit's going down.
Geo is roused out of bed and immediately
roll a perception check.
Oh, is he roused?
Shit's going down.
You'll get your perception check
when I'm in hell.
Ooh,
16.
Okay, yeah. You wake up in a dark room, pitch black, but you can see this beam passing through the mural, the stained glass picture of the tree, and it's passing through an almost inconceivably small hole at the front of the building. So things have certainly changed. A second ago, you heard a yell from the guys outside.
I'm hearing all that. I want to say, object be praised, and put my hand into the light.
Ooh. Okay. You put your hand into the light.
Does anything happen?
And nothing happens. It's just light. Your hand, you can see your hand.
I knew it. I've been invincible to the moonbeam this whole time. Ha! I'm gonna run outside now.
That tracks.
Geo interrupting the moonbeam doesn't interrupt the beam on the tree?
No, it doesn't. It was too small of a blip.
Because it's going from like half.
Think of it like a magnifying glass.
Yep, yep.
Now the three of you are standing there. Giovanni is kind of quickly throwing on his gear and running towards you guys who are standing in front of this tree.
All right, Val, what's the deal? Do we like hold hands or something? Chant Kumbaya and walk through?
Let me maybe go through first. I was just kind of woken through a dream, so.
See, my thing is like, what if you go through and then it closes?
Gio's still kind of sleepy and groggy. I'm going to yell for the object and run into the tree.
Giovanni runs into the tree, and he's gone.
Whoa.
Ah, shit. All right.
Let's go.
Okay, double time, yeah.
And I'll follow behind Val.
Okay, so then Val, you run in after Giovanni, and then not a second later, all of a sudden Mordecai's in there. The three of you pop out on the other side, and you find yourself in what appears to be a tunnel. It's overgrown with roots, and there's some loose leaves that seem to have made their way in here at some point. The tunnel can maybe fit awkwardly, like two people abreast, three people abreast sometimes, but it's not exactly a very broad tunnel.
About how high, Josh? Like able to stand? Are we kind of having to squat a little bit?
I'd say it's probably 6 feet. Like, it's a little bit tight for Giovanni and Val.
Yeah.
That's about the size of it.
Jeez.
Oh, it's awfully comfy in here.
Mordecai, you're fine.
Yeah, let's get cozy, guys.
Oh, yeah.
What sorcery is this?
But it is pitch black. You guys can't see anything, except for perhaps Val, who can see a little bit through his dim elf vision.
That's right, thanks.
That's rude.
Can I light a torch?
Whoa, 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 wait. I cast light.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks, Mordecai. I was going to suggest that.
I'm going to pull out
the old crowbar. Yeah. Don't waste the fire. We don't know if anything's flammable in here.
That's right, yeah. We're inside of a tree.
what if this is flammable gas?
I like the dramatic effect of striking a torch, though, so I'm going to do it anyway.
All right.
What if you just hit my hand and I cast light on your torch?
Yeah, it's cool.
Okay, so I'll pull up my crowbar, cast light on it. Hold it up so Giovanni can see where to hit my other hand. Cast light on his.
That's not the same. It's like vaping versus smoking.
The fog is thick around you as you are making your way through this cave, or at least looking around now with fresh eyes, illuminated by the light that Mordecai has cast.
This is a narrow cave.
All right, guys. What was it? Charlie formation. Let's go.
What are the chances that I've never woken up and this is a dream?
The same as every other day?
So the three of you make your way down this long tunnel, curving from left to right. And eventually, Giovanni, running perhaps a little bit ahead of everybody else, sees that the tunnel ends, and at the very end of it is a stone wall with a door, also stone, sitting in the middle of it.
I can't open it.
Can I have you guys roll perception checks?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, fuck yeah. That's a 15 for Geo.
An 8 for Mordecai.
A 9 for Val. Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty... considering you have a plus six, that's a hoof.
I know, I was really counting on leading the way there, but okay.
This appears to be a door.
You can see that in front of the door, Giovanni, it doesn't seem to just be a door. You can see that there are four very small stone platforms in the ground in front of it, and in kind of a pyramid design, like one is closer to the door than the other three. And you can also see that there seems to be some running water off of faucets from the side, and that's kind of weird considering you guys are in a tree. And you can also see that the door itself is lit up in script burning into the door itself.
Ooh.
Val, can you read this?
What language is it?
Yeah, then? Can I make it out? Like, is it like some kind of like...
Yeah, so...
Arcane moonlight?
I'll tell you right now, it's not infernal.
The color itself certainly does remind you of the moon, Val. And looking at it, you can see that it's actually written in the elf script. Although it certainly seems like perhaps an older script, like an older dialect, you can make it out.
Sure.
And these are what the words say to you. Vessels filled, but never full, they sit before the door. Among them all, a certain one is always wanting more.
Oh, no.
And looking down from the script, you can see that three large clay jugs appear in front of it.
Can I look at the jugs to see if any of them have a little hole besides the one that we would normally fill the water with?
Besides the larger hole at the top of it. Yes. Got it. Could I have you roll an investigation? Investigation check, baby.
Okay.
It's a jar, not a bong, Mordecai.
I'm actually feeling a little famished. Can I drink some of the water?
13.
So with a 13, you kind of look the jugs over and you can see that there is no hole other than the obvious one at the top of it. Giovanni, you walk over to one of the faucets on either side of this door and you can see, and I guess you reach your hand into it and you try tasting it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's water. Tastes good. It's good water.
Awesome. I'm going to grab one of the jugs and just have a big old gulp.
Okay, you take one of the jugs and you fill it with water and then you drink it and it is water. Mystery solved, guys. It was water.
Does it taste like good though? Like,
you know, it tastes like good water. Yeah. It doesn't taste like bad water. It tastes like good water.
Nice.
Fresh Brita.
Yeah, it's like mountainous, like glacial water, like crisp and cool.
Oh, my favorite water. There we go.
Yeah.
Getting descriptive.
All right. I want to fill up two of them all the way and one of them partially of full, and then just put them all on back on the pedestal.
Okay. Which pedestals? And
I thought there was like, where are the cups right now?
So they're kind of lined in front of the door here. There are three large ceramic cups, one of which you grabbed and tried to drink from successfully, we should say. And they're sitting just in front of the door. None of them are on pedestals. There are four stone, perfectly square resting places in front of this door. Three of them are at the back and one is closer to the door than the other three.
And then obviously I relayed that to my partners. Yeah.
So we fill up two of them almost full, but not all the way. And then there's another one we don't fill up at all.
And
just put them on the three pedestals in front of the door.
Yep. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. If you guys got a plan, go for it.
Okay, and that's exactly what you do, is you fill up two of the jugs and you put them on the two pedestals at the back, and then you don't fill up the other one and you just put it at the third one in the back, and nothing happens, or at least nothing that you can see.
Might be the case, just trying to process elimination here.
Are there any symbols or markings on the jug?
None that you can see. They all look identical.
Maybe it's like that weird painting thing that we did and one of them's actually poison.
Oh, God. That awful, awful Phil Collins puzzle.
Speak for yourself.
It was pretty good.
Awful in the pejorative sense. Not awful that I didn't like it. Just awful in that it was so terrible. No, terrific in the pejorative sense. That's what I'm looking for.
Sorry, and there's three jugs, right?
So there are three jugs. There are four positions.
Tablets. Yeah.
And there are faucets on either side of this door here, one where Geo is and the other where Mordecai is.
Okay.
Vessels filled but never full, they sit before the door, among them all a certain one.
Huh.
the one that wants more is always closest to where the water comes out?
I'm not sure.
Please, sir, can I have some more?
Yeah, do we just have to overfill them?
Well, maybe the maybe filling...
These faucets are dispensing water, I take it, right?
Yes. Yeah. That has been established. They're glacial, delicious water.
Can I investigate the little... the pads to see if there's any sort of, like, pressure give to them?
Sure. Like can I have you roll an investigation check?
For sure.
Yeah, good thinking.
And that is an 11.
Okay, so you walk over to these pads on the ground. They certainly look like pressure plates. They are solid stone, but along the edges of them is a glowing kind of whiteness. You're not quite sure where it's coming from. But you go and you press your foot on them. They don't move. You push down on them with your hand. You stomp on each of them, respectively. But none of them move. They seem like they're solid in the ground.
You know what, guys? I'm starting to think we should have brought Lieutenant Black. We're not really the best at puzzles.
What if we all take a water and two of us pour a bunch of it out on the two stones on the side and someone pours a little bit out on one of the stones in the middle?
You could always just topple one over and that's the one that wants more.
Either way, we gotta...
Just try something.
Yeah, let's try something.
What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, this door ain't getting any more locked.
Well, okay, so walk me through exactly what you guys do.
See your thing first, Brandon.
Okay, so we'll fill up two and put them closest by the door, and then the third one we'll put furthest away and kind of, like, tip it over so that it's, like, spilly.
Okay, so there's only one pad that's closest to the door, but you're going to put them both on that one pad?
Stack them.
You're going to stack them. Okay, so you put two full ones, almost full, on the pad closest to it, and then you set a third one that is also filled on the ones furthest away, and you push it over?
Yes.
Okay, it hits the ground, it shatters, all the water is gone from it, and you don't hear anything. But behind you, Val, who is standing now in front of the door, all of a sudden you can hear like a little spectral light, like a little like magic. You can hear magic behind you, and there's another vase sitting there now.
Oh, thank you. Good. Oh, I was like, oh no, we smashed the vase. Okay, guys.
I thought it was gonna be like a hint popping up, like y'all fucked up.
I just want to be like, hey, you know, I saw this. I think the tree spoke to me. What if I stand on this topmost pad and then we fill the three vases full and then place them on the other pads?
Yeah.
Okay.
Each pad is occupied with me in the topmost. The other three.
I'm into that. And if that doesn't do anything, can we two of us pour out our cups onto the pedestals?
Yeah.
And one person kind of pours it out. If your thing doesn't work. Just saying.
Sure.
While we're already set up.
Okay. Well, now you know that the vessels respawn. It's not a concern.
Yeah. Let's fill the urns, I guess. Right. Fill them up.
Sure.
Place them all down. 1, 2, 3, and then I'll stand on the fourth pad.
Okay. As you do that, each of the three pads that the vessels are sitting on start to glow, and then the vessels themselves disappear, and you can see in front of you, Val, that the door itself stops glowing and fades to black.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
No, it's good. It's open.
You push on the door, Giovanni, and it opens up.
Burst past. Giovanni loves the lighting mechanics of this thing so much that he's just going to be a total bull and just charge head first in every situation.
You're gonna get us.
I mean, to be fair, that's what we did practicing our Renlin tactical maneuvering.
Yes, you know. Biggest man first.
Since then, on the practice range, we've biggest gone better with the automatons. Since then, yeah,
we keep the ranged guys in the back. Yeah.
So the three of you walk into this room, and you can see it almost looks like a burial chamber. It is a large, long room, and there are pillars holding up the ceiling in front of you, which is expanded to perhaps 10 or 15 feet high. And in between each of these pillars seems to be, you would guess, a tombstone, maybe? But if there was any writing on them, it is long faded away.
Okay, so I'm just going to put this out there. Don't touch anything.
Of course. However, if I do determine this to be a ungodly shrine, I will cleanse it.
Fair warning.
Don't be cleansing New Elf Town.
I mean, it might be an elf godly shrine.
I'm just kidding. I see nothing to upset me here so far, except for this one little candle over here.
Oh, I was going to say, and this one little goblin over here.
There's nothing holy about goblins.
Or it's a backpack.
So looking towards the end of this room, you can see that Giovanni, yes, there is a candle that seems to have been set up on one of the tombstones closest to the door, and it is flaring away.
Fresh,
it seems.
Interesting.
Is there anything, does it just look like a normal candle, or is there anything sort of magical about it?
Apart from it being in this sealed tomb.
Investigation check.
Not really the magic man, but I'll give it a try.
You found it. You observed it.
16.
Yeah, it looks like a normal candle. Some of it is kind of pooled at the bottom of it, and that's what's holding it in place. And it seems like perhaps at some point it was a very large candle, but it's certainly burnt down pretty low now. But you have no idea if this is magical or not, but it seems, for all intents and purposes, a real normal candle.
Can I light my torch with it and then light these other torches in the hallway with it, with my torch?
Sure. Yeah, you do exactly that. So you light your torch off of it and you start going between all of the different little torches that are mounted into each of these pillars. And now you have a bunch of torches everywhere.
Can I check out this backpack?
Yeah, that's weird that you say that in your character voice as usual, but you go right ahead. Roll an investigation check.
I am fully immersed. Thank you very much.
Good. That's the whole purpose of this.
Nat 20 for a 21.
Okay, awesome. Beautiful. That's really good.
It's a magical backpack. It's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen.
Oh, sweet God.
Okay. Mordecai, you go through the backpack, and boy, it looks like somebody's pack that was left here recently. Like, it doesn't look like it's a 100-year-old backpack. It definitely looks like a typical adventurer's backpack for some reason. And going through it, you can see that there are more candles that are in here. And you can also see that there is one small health potion in it.
Okay.
And there is 15 gold pieces. There also seems to be like a bedroll that's tucked on top of it. But for whatever reason, it was left here.
Oh, okay. How many candles are in there?
5.
Okay.
So how many tombs are in this?
That's what I was thinking. Exactly. 1, 2, 3, 4.
There are 6 tombs.
And only 5 candles.
Giovanni, how many torches do you have?
One's lit already.
Infinite, I believe.
All right, I want to take all the candles out and I'll spread them out between the boys and be like,
let's, you know, pay our respects. We are walking through basically a cemetery.
Well, we don't know that this is a tomb. We don't know what's in these boxes.
It's not hard to put two and two together.
Yeah, come on, Gio.
What do you mean?
Like, we're a dungeon raider here.
You know what? No, don't worry. I'll do yours, and I'm going to light the candle off the main one and start going systematically putting candles on the other ones just to...
No desire to practice in this heathen demonic ritual here.
I'm going to aid Mordecai.
Okay. Just to curry favor with whatever might be sleeping here.
Yep, 100%.
Okay, so you light 5 candles and you put them on top of each of these tombs, we're calling them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to anger anybody sleeping here.
Let's call it what it is. It's a stone rectangle. We don't know what's inside. There's no nameplates or any sort of...
that we can see.
The science is still out.
This is a very creepy...
I don't know how elves bury their dead, so...
I thought they turned into trees when they died.
Isn't that druids?
Is it druids?
I mean, like, if you become like an archdruid or something, like you can live a really long time, but eventually you just become a part of nature, so.
I feel like you guys are having this conversation in front of the one person who could answer all of these questions, and Val's just staring there, standing there, just staring at you guys.
He's not piping up, so I don't know.
You guys didn't ask, so I'm not dead yet.
I don't think Val has gotten there yet.
I'm not dead yet, so.
But Val might have more insight into the funeral rites of his peoples than... you guys.
Does placing the lit candles upon the rectangular stone constructs produce any results?
Yeah, did it do anything?
What is the result you guys are looking for?
Hopefully nothing. Hopefully like, we don't summon a blood demon.
Okay, good
feeling
news.
That we did something nice.
Good news, you guys did not summon any kind of blood demon or anything. The room is certainly more lit now. You can see more of this room.
See more.
That's nice.
Feed me.
Yeah, that is kind of nice.
Should we continue?
Is this other room opened? Is this other door at the end of the...
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, I should go ahead and let the guys know that that backpack seemed really fresh. Like, there's a bedroll in there. Seems like somebody left it in a hurry.
There's a big fire in here.
Yeah, let's advance. Let's advance further.
All right.
Okay, so at the end of this this room with the rectangular slats of stone, as Giovanni likes to refer to them, is a door, and you open the door, and it leads into a long hallway, and at the end of this hallway is a large fireplace, and it seems to be lighting up the area. It's at a T-junction here, and to the right of this T-junction seems to be some kind of collapse in the hallway. Like, there's all these stones that have crumbled to the ground and are now blocking the way that would lead to. And then to the left side of that T-junction is a staircase. And it's just a very short staircase. It only goes up maybe 5 feet to another floor here.
Well, forward.
Let's ascend the stairs, guys.
Yep.
Okay. You ascend the stairs. The stairs take a right. You're able to walk two abreast at this point. And you end up coming to another junction. And to the left of it, you can see that out of this junction seems to come bones.
Shit.
They're piled high. Bones of all different creatures that you can't quite make out. And at the very end of this pile of bones, you can't see the end of this room, but you can see red eyes all staring back at you.
Damn.
Oh, it's fucking goblins, isn't it?
Thank you, everyone, for listening to our podcast. If you're interested in hearing more about us, please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Anchor, or Patreon as Late and Legends. A special thanks to our patrons this week, Al, Aaron, DJ Seath, Ethan, and Jason. If you're like these very special people and want to support our podcast, join us over on Patreon. And be sure to leave us a review on Spotify and iTunes. That helps us a lot. With that, we'll see you next week.